Welcome to The Front Foot, a new show on the SDH Network. My name's Jason Longshore. This is going to be a show throughout the 2022 season that digs a little bit deeper into Atlanta United and Atlanta United 2 and the Atlanta United Academy. Hopefully we'll get to hear from some of the people involved at all of those different levels of the club and try to tell some stories that maybe aren't getting enough attention or need some clarification as this 2022 season gets underway. I mean, it officially started today with the first training session on the pitch in Marietta at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training ground. I was able to go out and check out the training and hear from Brad Kazan and hear from new signing Caleb Wiley and hear from also new signing Osvaldo Alonso today after training. We'll talk a little bit about what they had to say, but let's start where training started, where we heard that there were some players who were not there on the field. Health and safety protocols are going to be an issue, at least early this season. Hopefully only early this season, but we'll just have to wait and see, right? We're still dealing with a global pandemic that keeps rearing its ugly head. Well, it did for Gonzalo Pineda, who was in health and safety protocols today and unable to be on the pitch with his team. Rob Valentino and the rest of the staff were in charge of the session. Also, multiple players were out, including two draft picks, Daniel Blyu of Penn State and Danny Centeno of the University of Pacific, the Generation Adidas draftee, who is under contract for the 2022 season. Blyu and the other draft picks have to earn contracts either with Atlanta United or with Atlanta United 2 for 2022. Also, we learned that Ezequiel Barco and Eric Lopez were not going to be on site for this session. They were allowed to report later. Now, let's get into a couple of the details with this. Bonfield in Argentina has already announced that Eric Lopez will be joining them on loan with an option to buy. And in their release on their website, they got into detail on this. It was a $1.6 million option to buy 50% of Eric Lopez's pass. Now, he'll be with Bonfield for the upcoming Copa de la Liga in Argentina and then the regular season. It's not exactly an Apertura Clausura setup in Argentina, but it's like a miniature season and another season that takes up the full calendar year. Bonfield's a team that needs depth up top. I think Eric Lopez will get opportunities to play. Dario Savitinic is their main striker at Bonfield, and he's 37 years old. Lopez will have an opportunity to develop, and that's something he wasn't going to get here in Atlanta. Now, Atlanta United has not announced this deal as of yet, which means it might not be finalized, and that's why the official word is that he was allowed to report later. Well, if the deal gets done, he's not going to report to Marietta. If it doesn't get done, well, then he'll report after it doesn't get done. But it looks like, as Bonfield has already announced it, and look, as we've heard with Thiago Almada, clubs sometimes in Argentina will make announcements very quickly, and sometimes before all the ink is dry on paperwork, or all the I's are dotted, or all the T's are crossed. So just stay tuned on that, but Eric Lopez has been linked with loans throughout the offseason, so it wouldn't be a surprise. Now, the bigger story is Ezequiel Barco. Ezequiel Barco has been linked with loans with an option to buy to Brazil. Flamengo, according to Cesar Luis Merlo, has made an offer in that vein, a loan with an option to buy. No figures were released by Merlo. If you don't know Cesar Luis Merlo, he is one of the gold standards when it comes to transfer talk. You know, I take it a step beyond rumors. There are some who trade in rumors. Merlo and Fabrizio Romano, who I'm sure many of you know of his work over in Europe primarily, although they do cross paths from time to time. Merlo and Romano are the gold standards to me. They are the guys that if they're talking about something, there's at least something going on in that vein. So Barco has now been linked, according to Cesar Luis Merlo, with two offers from clubs in Brazil, Internacional and Flamengo. Nothing has been accepted yet, obviously, but that is where the conversation is currently around Ezequiel Barco. No updates on Thiago Almada. Jake Mulroney finalizing, I believe, his visa paperwork. He will be joining the team as soon as he can. Mateus Hosetu was in health and safety protocols as well today. Darwin Mateus from Atlanta United 2, who will be training with the first team this season, also in health and safety protocols, unable to participate. One update on an injured player, Emerson Hyndman was able to participate at least to a degree today in sessions. That's a good sign for him. Santiago Sosa will be joining the team in training sessions as they go in preseason. Both are probably not likely to be 100% by the time they get to the season opener, but maybe not all that far off, and they might be able to play in some of the preseason matches. That schedule is still being finalized. I'm sure, as you guys know, the just havoc that is being wreaked on everybody's schedules when it comes down to Omicron and COVID and issues with that. The club is trying to make sure everything is ready to go, and they want as few disruptions as possible in this preseason, because this is the preseason that Gonzalo Pineda needs to be able to make this team his. You know, last season, he took over in midstream, and there was only so much he could do to change the way the team wanted to play. You know, the common phrase that gets used in these situations is game model. Well, when you take over in midseason and you don't have an extended time to just train, and you have all the midweek games and the compressed schedule that Atlanta did on top of injuries and other situations, you're not really able to dig into your own game model. You kind of have to take the game model that is there, make some tweaks, get the best out of what you have to work with. That's something Brad Guzan mentioned about Gonzalo Pineda. Got the best out of the individuals he had, but he wasn't able to really make it a coherent team that Gonzalo would want last season because of when he took over. He did get the team into the postseason, which is an amazing accomplishment. They played very, very well, one of the best teams in MLS after Gonzalo Pineda took over. Well, now this team is his, and you get to go into this preseason and make it yours. Now, not being on the field today, I'm sure, you know, Gonzalo is more torn up about that than anybody else. But these early sessions are a lot of building blocks to that. And they're things that Gonzalo and his staff have probably talked about many, many times. And it's kind of already set up as to what these sessions are going to be. Now, the implementation of them, I'm sure Gonzalo would like to be on the field to be able to pull a player aside, talk to a player about something they're doing well or something they're not doing well, make little tweaks as you go. But the general flow of these sessions is already set up. You have a lesson plan, essentially, and that's what's going to be followed by Rob Valentino and the rest of the staff, which it sounds like there's going to be at least one addition to the staff that should get announced very, very soon. What I wanted to do today was dig into the depth chart a little bit as we go into this 2022 preseason. Goalkeepers, there are four on the first team roster right now. Now, I don't think there's going to be four on the first team roster all season long. I am expecting Justin Garces to be loaned to Atlanta United 2. I think he'll play a lot with Atlanta United 2, whether he is loaned or not. But if a roster spot needs to be opened up, the new homegrown Garces will probably be the one who gets that longer-term loan to open up a spot. Bobby Shuttleworth was signed last week. He is the veteran here behind Brad Guzan. Dylan Castanera, player who was here in 2019 with Atlanta United 2, then went to Miami, played primarily with Fort Lauderdale CF. Castanera is here as well. I don't know if it will end up being Shuttleworth 2, Castanera 3, if it's a competition. Not sure about that. Castanera still has, I think, room to grow as a goalkeeper. He was a player that Atlanta United really liked after the 2019 season. And from everything I was hearing, they wanted to sign him to an MLS contract, but Dallas had drafted him, had his rights. They ended up trading those rights to Miami. Miami signed him to an MLS contract. Atlanta had him on a USL contract. The MLS contract takes precedence, and that's where he goes. So Castanera, I think, will have every opportunity to get opportunities here in Atlanta behind Brad Guzan, who did speak to the media today. Brad's one of the leaders of this group and talked about the expectations that the team has, talked about the expectations that he has, talks about wanting this team to be a competitor for everything in front of them this season. Brad Guzan, I think, is coming off one of his best seasons during his time here in Atlanta last year. I thought he was outstanding throughout the year. I thought he showed an increased ability with the ball at his feet, something that he hadn't been asked to do quite as much coming into the season. And that was something that was going to be a hallmark of Gabriel Heinze's system and continued on. I thought his distribution was very good. He was one of the most involved goalkeepers in MLS in terms of touches and passes, and generally was very, very good with that. Shot stopping, we know Brad Kazan's a great shot stopper. He makes some saves that just blow your mind from time to time. And he did that plenty last year. Hopefully he's not called upon to do that quite as much this year. But he's got support in Bobby Shuttleworth and Dylan Castanera and Justin Garces. Fullbacks. Three of them were on the left side coming into the day, and now there's four. Caleb Wiley signed his homegrown deal. Not a shock if you've heard John Nelson and I on Atlanta United 2 games, if you've heard Jarrett Smith as well, we talk about the twos or talk about academy stuff that we've had a chance to see. Caleb Wiley is a player that we've been raving about for a long time. He debuted in USL Championship at 15 years old in the 2019 season with Atlanta United 2. Very good in 2020 as well. Last year, another good, solid year for him. Had a chance to see him with the U19s in the UPSL Georgia Premier Division as well. He has really gotten fast. He's grown a good bit, obviously. He's just turned 17 now. But he has gotten really, really quick now. Wiley is going to be a player who I think will play primarily with Atlanta United too, but he's going to have a chance to push for time on that left side. George Bello is the incumbent starter. Andrew Gutman comes back from loan with the New York Red Bulls. He had his first training session today in Atlanta. He has been a starter in MLS for the last couple of years with Cincinnati first, then the Red Bulls on loan from Atlanta last year. Mikey Ambrose as well. Now, Mikey missed today's session being in health and safety protocols as well. Caleb Wiley's number four. Four options on that left side, and as we saw Gonzalo Pineda at times on the right side, he wasn't afraid to move one of those players into a wing position. I do expect Pineda will, I think, play more out of a 4-3-3, you want to call it a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-1-4-1, all that's fine, but a 4-3-3 idea, and I think you'll see more of that under Gonzalo Pineda in 2022. We saw Brooks Lennon and Ronald Hernandez, who are your two fullback options on the right side. Sometimes it was Ronald Hernandez as a right back, and it was Brooks Lennon as a right winger. We saw the reverse of that, too. I would not be surprised if you see George Bello or Caleb Wiley, who played that position on the wing in USL Championship last year. I wouldn't be surprised to see them there at times, depending on matchups. Andrew Gutman is a very good left back, very, very solid. He played in a high-tempo system with the Red Bulls last season. He can press high up the field. Fits the profile of an Atlanta United fullback. And we've seen Mikey Ambrose for years here in Atlanta. Such a steady presence when called upon. And those are the kind of guys that are needed in teams that have big ambitions, that want to win everything that's in front of them, as Osvaldo Alonso said today. You got to have depth. Mikey Ambrose is a guy that we saw come really not even off the bench. He had been with Atlanta United 2 late in 2019. Frank DeBoer called upon him to play against Philadelphia in an Eastern Conference semifinal after he hadn't played for the first team in quite a while, and he delivered in a big way. Mikey Ambrose can step up when called upon. To have him along with Gutman, along with Bello, and now along with Caleb Wiley, the fullback core is really, really solid. Now, Ronald Hernandez's return was officially announced yesterday. He is on an Atlanta United contract now on a permanent deal, coming over after a transfer from Aberdeen in Scotland. Brooks Lennon is away with U.S. Men's National Team camp, as is Bello, as is Miles Robinson currently. They'll rejoin the squad when they're released from national team duty, and that might be a little bit of a staggered window here. I think it's a pretty safe expectation that Miles Robinson will be with the U.S. during the World Cup qualifiers that start on January 27th. Three games in this window, three critical games. I think George Bello is a strong possibility to be included in that squad. And I think Brooks Lennon is a little bit more of a wild card possibility. But Lennon is a player that Greg Berhalter has talked up consistently during both the December camp and now in this January camp. It wouldn't shock me if Brooks Lennon stayed with the group through the qualifiers at the end of the month and into early February. Little disruptive to Atlanta United's preseason preparation, but that's why you have Ronald Hernandez. That's why you have the guys on the left that we talked about today. You can still work on all of the concepts. All of these guys are going to get playing time in 2022. All of them will be very important. Along with Miles at the center back group, Alan Franco, George Campbell, Alex DeJohn, Bryce Washington are the other options. Washington is a player that has not played in MLS yet. He played every game, I think he started every game, when he joined the club from Pittsburgh at the end of the spring, which was a weird situation with NCAA soccer last year. After the end of the spring season when Pitt was knocked out, Bryce reported, and he played with Atlanta United 2 exclusively and played sometimes at right back, sometimes as a right center back, sometimes as a center back on the right or the left side. DeJohn was a player that we didn't see a lot last year. I think the highlight for him in his Atlanta United career will be finishing the match in Nashville with a broken elbow, showing incredible courage, incredible leadership, making some big plays late to conserve that point in a really hard-fought match over the summer last year. George Campbell is a player who in preseason could get some opportunities with Miles Robinson away and continue the growth that we saw in 2021. Campbell's one of the Atlanta United homegrowns, and he has just climbed the ladder, I think so confidently. If he is called upon in a big way in 2022, I would not have any hesitation or concerns about George Campbell being able to deliver in those moments. Alan Franco is a player who really surprised me last year. I liked his profile coming in. If you remember the great center back chase of 2021, Alan Franco was the third option on that list, and he proved to be a great acquisition. Really aggressive. Kind of called him a steamroller at times, and aggressive in a not a malicious way. I want to be clear in that. He's very aggressive. Very physical as a defender. He showed good quickness, showed good pace, showed an ability on the ball that I didn't know that he had, because at Independiente, in the past, he played more with the ball at his feet. The last couple of years there, he wasn't really asked to do much in terms of build-up play. He was fine in that regard. One of the best passers in MLS from a percentage standpoint of completions. Alan Franco has to continue to, I think, stay locked in and prevent some of the mistakes that happened maybe early on in his Atlanta tenure. Didn't see many of those as the year went on. I thought he just got better and better and better as his confidence increased, and I think as his connection increased with Brad Kazan, with Miles Robinson, with the players around him. So I'm expecting big things from that center back group. I think you have one of the best, you know, U.S. center backs in Miles Robinson there is worldwide right now. Alan Franco is one of the better center backs in Major League Soccer, and you have George Campbell, who is ready to step up whenever needed. Alex DeJohn, capable reserve, and Bryce Washington's a young player to keep an eye on. He's a guy who, if you need extra depth on the right side, I think he can handle that, and he's a player who can play well enough with the ball at his feet to fit the Atlanta United profile. So five center backs with the group. We always know that Santiago Sosa can drop into that back line as well when called upon. Speaking of Sosa, I think one of the bigger questions of the preseason is going to be where he is by the end of it. Is he going to be ready to start on opening day, or is he going to need a little more time? Osvaldo Alonso was signed, I think, to take some of the burden off of Santi this season. And that doesn't mean that Sosa is going to play a lot less. I think it's just Alonso becomes a guy that Sosa can lean on, a guy that other young players can lean on as well. But I think he's a guy that will greatly impact Santiago Sosa's development. Alonso is going to be a leader of this group no matter how much he plays. And, you know, maybe he becomes a little bit of the closer for this team coming in late to settle them down to see how to lead. I think he's going to be called upon maybe a little bit more early on as Sosa gets back to full fitness after the offseason sports hernia surgery. Alonso has shown in his time in Minnesota how important he is, even as his minutes decrease a little bit. I think Alonso will be very important for Atlanta United and be almost an extra assistant coach for Gonzalo Pineda and his staff. Other central midfielders, more on the back end of it, Amar Sadich is somebody who we have seen play in a little bit deeper role when needed. He was brought in the middle of last season. Mateus Josechu is a player that has kind of turned into one of those sorts of players. He was unavailable today due to health and safety protocols. But Josechu paired up with Sosa at times, but he also did play the six by himself a couple of times in matches and was a very pleasant surprise in that role. We know his quality on the ball. He's one of the hardest players in Major League Soccer to get the ball off of. But defensively, very smart, very intelligent player. I think his soccer IQ is very high for a player with his experience. So Hosetsu could factor into that back end of the central midfield as well. Efrain Morales is a player who played a lot of the defensive midfield role in his limited appearances with Atlanta United 2 last season. He's struggled to stay fit. He's still very young. I think Efrain Morales is kind of a unique project for Atlanta United. And number one, it's get him healthy and get his body right to be able to handle the rigors of pro soccer. I think his ability, I think his technical ability, especially for his size, is outstanding. It's just going to be get him right physically, then get him games and get him experience. I would expect that he will be on loan with Atlanta United 2 this season primarily. I hope we get to see him on the field a lot so we can figure out kind of where he is, because I don't really know at this point with the injuries he's had. I don't really know where to project him, if it's a six, if it's a center back, if it's a little of both. And I don't really know where to project his potential at the moment because of the stop-start nature of his run so far as a homegrown player for Atlanta United. Other central midfielders, Marcelino Moreno, I thought was one of the more underrated players in MLS last season. Outstanding, clutch, showed up in some really big moments for Atlanta United. I think he's best in a more advanced role, but in a pinch, if he has to play an eight and play a little bit deeper, he's a player who can give you that. Hosetsu can play a little more advanced than the deep-lying midfield that we saw him more later in the season. Franco Ibarra is a player that I'm really excited to see what his next step is. Showed a good ability on the ball. He had very limited experience as a pro before he got to Atlanta. He was kind of the revelation of the Copa de la Liga. It was actually the Copa Diego Armando Maradona at the end of 2020 in Argentina. That was his first extended run with Argentinos Juniors, and he led the league in completed tackles in that league, in that season. Comes to Atlanta, and he was a player kind of like Franco that wasn't really asked to do much with the ball during his time at Argentinos Juniors. Thought he was okay. I think he needs reps. I think he needs games. His best game was in Seattle. I thought he was just outstanding in that game. Seemed to win the ball all over the field and win his tackles and jump into passing lanes. He's a player with a lot of potential, in my opinion, and he's a guy to keep an eye on this year. I want to see where he fits, and I think he's another one that Osvaldo Alonso will have a big impact on. There's a lot of Aussie in Franco Ibarra's game, and I think they'll definitely benefit from that relationship. Tyler Wolf is a player who can play centrally as well. I know Gabriel Heinze talked about seeing Wolf in one of those positions. Heinze looked at it as a little bit more of a 4-1-4-1 with one holding midfielder behind two more advanced central midfielders. I think you could see that flipped under Gonzalo Pineda with two holding, one advanced. Wolf is a guy who's, I think, shown some really good things at times, but he hasn't really settled into a position yet. I don't know if it's a 10. I don't know if it's a second forward. I don't know if it's out wide. That's maybe the biggest question to answer in 2022 for Tyler Wolf is where is he best used on the field? Gonzalo Pineda has consistently talked up Tyler Wolf, really likes his game, really likes his soccer IQ. This is the year I think we learn a lot more about what Tyler Wolf can be at this level, because I think he's an MLS level talent. I think he's very good. I just don't know where he fits just yet with this group. Emerson Heineman is a player that I talked about a little bit earlier. Heineman is kind of seemingly ahead of schedule when it comes to returning from an ACL injury that he suffered last season. He's working with the group. Now, I don't think he's working in the contact drills during training, but he's doing all the warm-up work with them. He's a player that Carlos Bocanegra, you know, hoped would be available for some of the preseason matches. Maybe he can get in and play some minutes during this preseason, and maybe he's a guy who can be on the bench in the early stages of the MLS season. He was very missed last season when he went down with his injury. I thought Heineman was one of the guys who understood what Heinze was trying to get across from a tactical perspective, and it kind of suffered in his absence. Hyndman is a player who I don't think gets enough credit of what he can bring to this team. He's a guy who can show up in dangerous spots in the final third, get goals, create goals for others. But I think he also does a lot of the selfless work in the midfield. He makes runs to draw defenders to him to open up space for others. The sooner he can get back on the field, the better. Where he fits in this group is going to be very interesting because as we get further up the field, a lot of talented players and not a lot of spots to fit all of them in. How will that look? Will it be a bit of a rotation for Gonzalo Pineda? Will he kind of ride the hot hand? Will that increase the competition on the training pitch? Will he find the right group with the right chemistry? These are all questions that I think we'll hopefully get a few answers for during preseason, but it might take a little bit longer than that for Hyndman to be fully into that conversation. We also know centrally that Ezequiel Barco can factor into that role, but he's not with the team right now. Talked about that off the top. You know, your guess is as good as mine as to what is next for Ezequiel Barco, but last year I think we saw why the transfer fee was paid for him coming into 2018, why he was seen as one of the most promising young talents in the world at that time. We saw why he was one of the best players in the Copa Sudamericana run for Independiente, where they lifted the title, and Barco was a key figure there. Alan Franco was an important figure there as well. We saw the promise start to come to fruition for Ezequiel Barco in 2021. If it is Flamengo, if it is Internacional, if it is a European club that comes in for him, I think Atlanta United will be nicely rewarded for their work in developing him, and I just hope that Ezequiel Barco goes and lights it up wherever he goes. He's been a very maligned player here in Atlanta at times. I think, you know, he was unfairly compared to Miguel Almiron and unfairly compared to Pity Martinez in terms of expectation. Ezequiel Barco is Ezequiel Barco, and he's a special player. And we saw that last year. His run of games over the course of about 2 months after rejoining the team from the Olympics was about as good of a run over an extended period of time as we've seen in Atlanta United history. I think Joseph Martinez's long goal-scoring streak is going to be on that list. And I think Ezequiel Barco, with the goals and assists he had over the 2 months when he came back to Atlanta after the Olympics, are really about as good as it gets for an extended run of excellence. If Barco is here, he can play centrally. He can play on either flank. We know Luis Araujo, who had a very good day on the training pitch today from the session that I had a chance to watch closely. Araujo joined the team in August, electric, just an incredibly talented player. I think getting the consistency out of him is going to be a key for Gonzalo Pineda. You know, it kind of was there and not there at times in 2021. He's an impact player, and I think as he continues to build the relationships with his teammates, and this preseason will be huge for him, I think he comes into an incredibly motivated, and there's a lot of expectations for him. He's going to have to deliver in a big way because he is right now the highest paid player on the Atlanta United side. So he's going to be expected to play like that. He has that in him. And I think we saw a lot of that last year. I think we need to see it on a little bit more of a regular basis in 2022. In reserve on the wing right now, Jake Mulroney, who will be joining the team very soon once he gets his paperwork sorted out. Jürgen Damm was there today as well. Jürgen Damm has been linked with loans away. Nothing has happened as of yet. There was a strong link with Chivas at one point in Liga MX. That has not come to fruition. So right now, Jürgen Damm is an Atlanta United player, and if Ezequiel Barco is not here, and yes, there is still the Thiago Almada possibility of Almada joining the side, Atlanta has the exclusive option to trigger a transfer on him. Now, Velez has already announced it as a transfer. Atlanta United made it clear that they have the option to do that. Nobody else can jump in to make that transfer ahead of Atlanta United, but Atlanta United has not triggered that option as of yet. And Almada, I believe, has been seen in preseason training with Velez so far as they're getting ready to start their upcoming Copa de la Liga campaign. Eric Centeno is a player that Carlos Bocanegra said that Atlanta sees him as a winger. In some of the super draft conversation ahead of it, a lot of people expected the teenager from the University of Pacific to be converted to an outside back or a wing back. And look, that's still a possibility for him. But Atlanta United liked his ability in tight spaces. They liked his craftiness. Thought he was very clever. He's a guy that will factor into the depth chart on the wing, at least to start preseason, it sounds like. Machope Chole is there as well as Mulroney will be once he arrives. Up top, you know, it's Joseph Martinez. And Joseph has talked about it all throughout last season, the challenges he had in recovering from ACL surgery, the complications that he had with it that we didn't know the full extent of until really, you know, kind of later into 2021. And it, I think, made everything fit into the proper context early in the season where it was more of a struggle for Joseph Martinez. Double-digit goals for him in 2021. Not 100%. Something Brad Kazan talked about. You know, the team knew that he wasn't 100%. They knew that he couldn't, you know, always go every training session, couldn't always go 90 minutes every game because of where his knee was. Now, he's had a long chance to rest it, and he's going to get a full preseason to build up that fitness. He was on the field today. There's no expectation of concerns about anything with the knee at this stage. It's just going to be getting him in great shape to be able to have a great 2022 for Atlanta United. Now, forward is a position that has been talked about as potentially a place where Atlanta United could add a player. Will Bruin, at one point, was in conversations with Atlanta United, according to a friend of soccer down here, Nico Moreno, with Sounder at Heart and Pulso Sports in the Seattle area. Will Bruin has been in preseason training with Seattle, so I think you'd expect that he's going to sign a deal with the Sounders for 2022. Jackson Conway is the other forward on the roster as things currently stand with the Five Stripes. Conway got some time with MLS last season, had a big goal in Nashville to equalize, had some mistakes, had some games where he didn't really make an impact. When he went down to Atlanta United 2 later in the season, I think you could see that there was a little bit of a challenge for Jackson in his first year where he had some adversity, where his confidence might have been dinged a bit. It's part of the development of a young, talented player, and I've had the chance to see Conway in the academy, first in academy matches, then as an academy player with Atlanta United 2, then as an Atlanta United 2 contracted player. He's got a lot of goals, a lot of big, spectacular goals with Atlanta United 2 in USL Championship. He's got that special moment in Nashville with a big equalizer. Ton of potential. I think for him, it's not so much the role of being the forward and being in the 18 and scoring goals. I think he's got that. I think it's about the rest of the game that it takes to play a forward role at this level. It's what he has to do when the ball turns over, what his defensive responsibilities are, what he has to do in the build-up phases. You know, does he drop into the midfield a little bit to help connect the play? Does he stay up high? Does he act more like a target forward? I think one of the biggest challenges for Atlanta United this season will be getting minutes for guys like Conway, guys like Machope Chole, guys like Tyler Wolf, guys like Bryce Washington, who are talented, who are still very promising, who are potentially MLS starters, but right now are not, and need to play to get to that level, but also need to train with the first team and be in those positions to learn what Gonzalo Pineda wants from them. It's a fine line because the depth is needed with the first team, but also these guys need matches. Eric Lopez looks like he's going to be at Bonfield in Argentina to get those matches. Could be loans to Atlanta United too. It could be loans elsewhere. Are those potentially on the cards for guys like Washington, guys like Wolf, guys like Chole, guys like Centeno as well, guys like Conway? We talked about the potential with Garces. Caleb Wiley talked about it today. He wants to push for time. He wants to compete with the first team, but he also knows that there's a strong likelihood he'll get games with Atlanta United too as well, and that's part of the process. That is going to be an ongoing story, I think, for the players that I've just mentioned, along with Efrain Morales, who we talked about a little bit earlier. I think George Campbell's kind of pushed past that. I think George Campbell's the number three center back on the depth chart here, and you always have to have that third guy ready to go. He's going to get some starts. He's going to get games. He's going to get minutes. We saw that plenty last season. I think he's past this point. Washington still needs games as a center back. Garces is going to need games, his first games as a professional. He played a little bit with Atlanta United, too, as an academy player. Wiley's played with the twos. Conway's played with the twos a lot. But they're not quite full first-team guys yet. Wolf has bounced back and forth, and he might need to do that again. Efrain Morales needs to get established with the twos, and Eric Centeno needs to get established at the first-team level. The other Atlanta United draft picks, not under contract yet. I think they're going to have every opportunity to earn one, but it might be an Atlanta United 2 contract first. And we've seen the progression. Talked about Conway, talked about others who have signed twos deals and developed into something more. That's okay if that's the next step. And that could be the next step for the draft picks who are part or going to be part of as they are accepted in past the health and safety protocols that we're all dealing with. They'll be part of this preseason for Atlanta United. Hopefully an announcement about preseason matches coming up very soon. I think things are getting finalized. That could come really any time at this stage. Some matches that hopefully we'll have a chance to broadcast for you either on the radio on 92.9 The Game or on a stream that you can watch at atlutd.com/live. We'll keep you posted on all of that. This won't be a daily show. It won't be a weekly show. It's something that hopefully we'll be able to dig into as news warrants a little bit deeper dive. Hopefully it's something we'll be able to do live from time to time when we're on the road with the first team in MLS play. And hopefully it's something we'll be able to do from time to time, including Atlanta United 2, including the Atlanta United Academy as well. If you got any topics you'd like for us to dig into a little bit deeper, please throw them our way. If you're one of our subscribers, you should be part of our Discord, and you can drop them in there. You can send me a message there. You can send me a message on Twitter as well. You can send me an email as well, soccerdownhere@gmail.com, and we'll deep dive into everything you want to hear about with Atlanta United. Preseason 2022 is underway. Day one is completed. Can't wait to see this team on the field. Can't wait to see Gonzalo Pineda's version of Atlanta United fully implemented for 2022. I got high expectations for this team. Osvaldo Alonso, day one, first person to speak to the media, ask about the goals for the season. He said it's to win everything. I love it already. Can't wait for this thing to get started. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being part of the SDH universe. We greatly, greatly appreciate it, and we'll be back with you very soon. Take care, everybody.